America weekend.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. We continue our conversation with Dave Berg. He was co-producer of The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Late night. It is changing so much. Jimmy Fallon has put his own twist on The Tonight Show. It's not what Jay was doing. Letterman now gone. We still don't know what Stephen Colbert is going to do when he comes to 11:30. Overall, does the late night format that we know, does it need to be changed simply for the sake of changing it, or can it endure?
Well, I think it's already been changed pretty significantly by Jimmy Fallon and, mm-hmm. to a lesser extent, Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Fallon, it's really Saturday Night Live.
Oh, sure.
But he's turned it into a variety show.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's done, where guests come on and you don't really have the traditional interviews. The monologue really doesn't count for as much anymore. They're doing comedic bits. He's playing these sort of silly games. I think even the young people who are watching it, they don't really watch late night. They watch segments on social media.
I was just going to say that, and Jimmy Fallon has taken that to a certain art, because you can go to YouTube and see whatever he's done the previous night, and he'll have the next morning already 350,000 views of a song parody that he did. Now, when it comes to CBS with Stephen Colbert, I think there are people out there that think they're going to get the character of Stephen Colbert, and you can't really do that at 11:30. I always had this feeling about espousing your own political views at that hour. Why alienate half your potential audience if people think they're going to get the politically skewing show that you had at 11:30 on Comedy Central? You're not going to have that, because you can't do that in network television. So I would imagine, without really a huge track record to show, CBS is taking quite a gamble with Colbert at 11:30. What do you think?
I think it's a huge gamble, and I think there's a problem there. First of all, when David Letterman went off the air, he had 13.7 million viewers.
Right.
The time for Stephen Colbert to go on the air was the following Monday. There was momentum there.
Exactly.
That's
right.
When you do,
yep.
it.
That's exactly
That's
right.
That's how you handle that. Why is he waiting until September 8th to go on the air?
Yeah.
I think he doesn't really know who he is.
I mean, you're right. They're purging the audience, and I think there are a lot of people that are going to tune in September and that are going to expect to see, and let's be honest, what it is. He did a pro-left, anti-right show on Comedy Central. It was a niche show that certain people loved, and for what it was very good. But if you try to take that and put that into what has always been a mainstream franchise time slot for a network, you're taking a huge, huge chance. And does he run the risk of those people, those diehard Colbert fans, when they turn on that first night, and if they're not going to get that type of humor, those people are going to walk away and they're not going to come back?
Ed, I think you just nailed it. I really do, because if you read the television pundits and critics who often come from the left, you'll, mm-hmm. see it on Salon.com.
Sure.
They think that Colbert is God's gift to comedy. I mean, I just read a piece that he's going to do great because he's the most brilliant comedian out there, and they're going on and on and on, but they leave out little things that you just mentioned. You mentioned the word niche,
mm-hmm.
right? They don't use that word. He was getting 1 million viewers. Well, Jimmy Fallon's taking in 4 million viewers.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He was niche. And also, you've already said it, but I'll just approach it from a different angle. You don't play a character, which essentially was kind of mocking Bill O'Reilly.
Of course it was, sure. Yeah.
You don't play a character like that for more than a decade without really, you know, being emotionally invested in it.
And I think it's going to be very difficult for him to let that go, because, not to critique him as a performer, but when you've done that, and I mean, and that pigeonhole type of thing for so many years, it is hard to let that go. And I think it's going to take a while for him to find his feet and to develop the personality that he's eventually going to show, because he cannot rely on a character. People are going to see through that, and it does amaze me. Oh, he's brilliant. He's amazing. He's an unknown quantity in what he is about to embark on. And an hour a night, five nights a week, when your personality and your ability to deal with guests as yourself, not the, you know, the anti-Bill O'Reilly character that he did build on that show, it's going to be very interesting. And it's very difficult to go from channel 75 on a cable box to Channel 2. You have a lot more eyes on you, and the responsibility of, you got that audience coming in from that late local news, you got to hold that audience, and you got to hold all the audience, not just the 42% that agrees with you politically.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I'm not seeing any evidence that he's going in the right direction. He did a piece on social media where he had grown a beard and he shaved his beard.
I saw that. I mean, if that's the level of humor, uh-oh. If I'm Les Moonves, I'm scared as I'm playing golf this summer.
So, I know. I mean, didn't Conan already do that?
Yeah, he did. And we saw where that led. It's going to be quite interesting. Once again, his book, Behind the Curtain, An Insider's View of Jay Leno's Tonight Show. It is a great read. You can get it at Amazon. You can get it in bookstores. It's probably all over beautiful downtown Burbank, California as well. Dave Berg, this has been quite an honor having you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
The honor was mine, Ed. Thank you
so much. Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalegi, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Are you a good judge of character? Can you predict accurately why people do the things they do? Well, even if you're the most popular political pundit on TV, the answer is probably not. Here's the science of it.
Nice kid.
Bad judge of character.
It's straight out of attribution theory. Say a person slips and falls in front of you, you'll probably say they're a klutz and some deep character flaw caused their slip up. What if you're the one who falls? You'll blame it on some physical reason like, oh, I didn't see that banana peel. Never an internal reason.
It's not my fault.
What's the cheap psychological trick? When others behave strangely, we assume it's a personality flaw and never look beyond it. Maybe we ought to give others the same benefit of doubt we grant ourselves. More info at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Order in the court.
This is Attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. Three nights in a row, strange men were showing up at Ellen's house, insisting on coming in. After a man wouldn't stop ringing the doorbell at 2 a.m., Ellen and her 10-year-old daughter called the cops. Turns out her neighbor Jason had been placing Craigslist ads soliciting sex using Helen's name and address. He watched in amusement as the men tried to get in the house while Ellen and her daughter were terrified. But the joke's on Jason now. He's doing 4 years in jail. What was he convicted of? The final verdict after this.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jason was guilty of felony identity theft. And that's the final verdict.